This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
4 o'clock hour, Hockman and Crowder. Not much better than watching games, eating great food, drinking ice cold beer at Twin Peaks. So much going on. Football, basketball, hockey. It's two Monday night games tonight. And it's the holidays, so it means it's bonus card season at Twin Peaks. You can stuff your friends and family stockings with the ultimate gift card and get a little something in return for yourself. So if you go to Twin Peaks, get a $25 gift card purchase, you get $5 for yourself. Buy $50 in gift cards, get a $10 bonus card for yourself. Get $100 in gift cards, get a $20 bonus card for yourself. And then you can redeem your bonus card anytime in January. By the way, I've been telling you, you can win an ugly holiday sweater every Friday in December at 7 p.m. at Twin Peaks. This Friday, this coming Friday, happens to be National Ugly Sweater Day. So if you wear an ugly sweater to Twin Peaks this Friday, you score free chips and queso, and you're in the drawing to win the ugly holiday sweater. And I always mention, not too early to start thinking about where you're going to celebrate New Year's Eve. Say goodbye to 2024 at Twin Peaks Blingin' in the New Year party, featuring a lingerie costume change and sweet deals on champagne all day long. There are six Twin Peaks around South Florida for you to enjoy. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic view. All right. A lot of people commenting on the Barry Jackson column that we read. Someone else texted me as well. Hockman, Tua is Matt Ryan. For Tua to succeed, he needs an elite GM that can build a perfect team around him. If at any point one single aspect of a perfect team fails, Tua is incapable of carrying a team on his shoulders like Matt Ryan. That's fair. I would give you that at this yes. point in his career, because I saw someone else tweet out earlier today something along the lines of, for 6 years we were on a Ryan Tannehill hamster wheel where some would argue he's good, others would argue not good enough, and every year we'd be waiting for the definitive answer. And someone said, and now we're doing this, we're year five. Is it year five of Tua? Yeah, I guess year five, because third year of McDaniel, and he had two with it's year six. Didn't he have two with Flo, and now this is the third with McDaniel?
Wasn't he drafted in 2019? Yeah, you're right, year five.
Yeah. But we're almost there. We're almost at Ryan Tannehill level with him, where you've got some arguing, yes, he's that dude. Others arguing, no, he's not. But most people agreeing, hey, we'll wait and see next year.
we've talked about this before, and I really, if Tua's in Detroit, If Tua's in Philly, if Tua's in Kansas City, I can't answer it, but I would love to see him in one of those stable organizations to see what he really is. So I think to your point, Hawk, why we argue and why there's really two sides of this Tua thing is because we've never seen him with an established roster and an established head coach. Flo hated him, and now McDaniel's trying to figure it out. Give him one of those veteran coaches. I would love to see what Tua – I think Tua's better than Jared Goff. Jared Goff's going to have way more success than Tua because he's in the Detroit Dan Campbell regime right now. I would love to see Tua in that situation.
Let's do a quick Who Got Funky for the weekend, courtesy of our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Solana, do we have an opener for Who Got Funky?
Yeah, we do, Hawk. We have a produced open, absolutely.
You want to play it?
Oh, here? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yo, E, what you want to do now, man?
Yo, whatever it is, it's just got to be funky.
Funky, 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 funky.
I feel like that's happening. I can't get up
on that funky stuff. You know it's funky, funky,
just
funky.
Just call for it, then. Heard it from his
seat. Well, that's kind of what I'm doing.
Who Got Funky on Hawk and Crowder.
All right, Who Got Funky, courtesy of our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. For me, the Pop-Tarts Bowl got funky.
Funky.
They made the Iowa State Bowl game the most important game in the history of Hurricanes football. And I don't know if you're aware, Crowder, it's a very storied college football program. But the fact, I don't care about the Natties. I don't care about the so-called legacy great bowl games. The fact that the winner of the Pop-Tarts Bowl gets a fully functional trophy slash toaster makes it the most consequential game in the history of Hurricanes football. Pop-Tarts got funky.
Funky.
Crowder, who got funky this weekend?
Got a toaster for 1986 the other day. $19.86.
Is it shaped like a trophy?
I know they're going to hate this one. I got to represent top-notch football when it happens, no matter what division they're in. This damn Josh Allen is getting funky.
Oh, get out of here.
Stop.
He is. What are you doing, bro? Come on.
Huh, Solana. Okay, listen, Solana. Let me tell you. His name's not Josh Allen. It's William Shesherfield. But he goes and scores 30 points in 8 straight weeks. The last 2 weeks, he scored 40 points. The last 2 weeks, beating the Rams and the Lions, he throws for 704 yards, rushes for 170 yards, 5 rushing touchdowns, 5 passing touchdowns. It is MVP. It's alien numbers. It's like he's playing in some Montana league against children. Josh Allen right now is playing some of the best football that I've seen in a long time in the NFL. Josh Allen's getting funky.
Yeah, he's playing great. They're awesome. The Bills look like they're a Super Bowl team. Guess what? I'd still rather spend a weekend with Broberg than I would celebrate Josh Allen and the Bills.
Jimmy,
the Lions.
Who got funky? Courtesy of our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery, Jimmy.
I'm going to give it to the 5 South Florida teams that won state championships this weekend.
Funky. Oh, which are they?
Chaminade Madonna, Northwestern, American Heritage, St. Thomas Aquinas, not University, and West Boca.
Nice job. Of course, Northwestern, coached by
Teddy Bridgewater.
That's right, Teddy Two Gloves. Yes. And St. Thomas Aquinas, the athletic director is?
Tuan Russell.
That's Tuan right, Russell. Tuan Russell. I mean, no.
And the American Heritage quarterback who's going to Texas is Rajah Bell's son, Dia Bell.
It is?
Yes.
Wow.
He actually didn't play. He actually didn't play. He was injured. And they put a receiver at quarterback, and they still scored 40 points. Lil Chan went to the game.
Wow. Solana, who got funky this weekend?
Man, there's so many things I could give it to. And trust me, Josh Allen and the Bills are not one of them. But, Hawk, I have never been more certain about who I want to give my Who Got Funky to. And it's to the world of chess.
Funky.
Got funky over the weekend. One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
This is true, by the way.
Gukesh Damaraju became the world's youngest chess champion by taking out a legend in the sport, Ding Liren, who made the worst mistake in the history of chess.
Huge blunder.
And the entire chess world was put on notice about Gukesh. This is the biggest news to happen in the chess world since The Queen's Gambit was released on Netflix.
He is not incorrect about anything that he said there. And this Indian kid is 18 years old. And he is playing a grandmaster, the reigning champion. The reigning champion made an error, a blunder. So wild that announcers couldn't believe what they were watching. Literally couldn't believe what they were watching.
Gukesh.
He got funky.
Gukesh is going to get a lot of Gukesh when he gets back to India. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's why you play the game.
That's why you play the game.
Checkmate. That's Who Got Funky, courtesy of our friends at Funky Boot Up Brewery.
Funky.
Quick look at the headlines because Adam Beasley is going to join us. Brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Hawk, I don't know who was more upset, the texters when you were talking about Tua to start the show, or the texters when you admitted, shockingly an hour ago, that you had never eaten pot roast and, quite frankly, didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And one listener heard that and sent in a voice note that I'm going to play for you right now.
Mm. Waste your time with Hawk on food. He doesn't have a taste. He doesn't even know what he's doing. I mean, unbelievable.
A listener. You got a voicemail from your dad. I was wondering how a listener was able to send in a voice text. Your dad is outraged that I've never had pot roast?
I think we just stumbled into my favorite segment, voice notes from Eduardo, because...
Yes, he should have a constant narrative going on during the show.
You better edit it.
Play that again. So Eduardo finds out that I've never had pot roast or roast beef, and he says,
waste your time with Hawk on food. He doesn't have a taste. He doesn't even know what he's doing. I mean, unbelievable.
You're wasting your time with all that food.
You're wasting your time with this clown. He's holding you back. Very good fatherly advice from Eduardo toward you. I hope you listen to him.
He doesn't have a taste.
Unbelievable.
Perfect. Unbelievable. That is perfect.
So now to Tua, who is also unbelievable. Man, turned the ball over four times, 4.9 yards average per pass attempt. It was not good for Tua, obviously. Final two drives ended in an interception. The last one cost the Dolphins, ultimately, a chance to go down the field and tie it. We haven't even brought up Jason Sanders, who, of course, missed an extra point. I mean...
That was AFC's special teams player the month last month. I'll give him a little leeway.
Month.
What have you done for me lately, you bum?
Well, everybody was overwhelmed.
Dolphins are 2-point favorites over San Fran next Sunday.
Money line, San Fran.
Wow, man. Crowder has really just punted on this team already.
Well, because I didn't feel good about the Texans. We were talking about it all. I didn't feel good about that Texans game, But I just didn't. I just saw a team that was more dominant than you in all aspects of the game. And I don't want to say people quit. I'm not calling anybody out mentally, emotionally, but yeah, it was sad. That offensive line was sad. It was a jailbreak. I almost wanted to go back and play to go get some more sacks because it was pudding. There was four boxes of pudding sitting in front of Tua every time he went back to pass.
You know what? You would have played against Tua yesterday. Maybe you would have had your second career interception.
Hit me, Tua. I'm going to go over and stand by Tyreek. I know where you're going with the ball.
The second that injury report came out, I put in Texans -5. It was at 2.5. Yeah. I bought it up right away.
Offensive line, when healthy, is suspect. When unhealthy, is just, as you say, a jailbreak.
Yeah.
I was listening to Solana and Tua. I'm driving around. No one knows the starting right guard's name or right tackle's name. Omar comes on. He doesn't know the guy's name. Beasley comes on. He doesn't know the guy's name. No one knows who's playing for the Dolphins. I said, yep, let me lock it in. I got it at 4.5.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter says, Sacramento State is in discussions to hire former Pro Bowl quarterback Michael Vick as its new head coach.
Wow.
I was with Vick last night.
That's your friend.
Yeah.
Has he been coaching?
He didn't tell me about it. We talked for like an hour. He didn't say nothing. But I guess we're not that tight.
The Heat play tonight. They're in Detroit, 7 p.m., revenge game for Spo. And the Panthers are in Edmonton, revenge game for the Oilers. Stanley Cup final rematch, that's at 8:30, Heat at 7. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy, a little rainy. That is your weather.
All right, Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network will join us in the next segment. You want to give away these Toto tickets before we go to break here?
Hey, let's give away Toto.
Yeah, totally.
We've got a pair of tickets every single day this week. Toto is coming to the I Think Financial Amphitheater next July with special guests Men at Work and Christopher Cross. This is a great lineup. Keep listening. Every day we'll give away a pair. It's a Live Nation show. We'll give away a pair right now. What caller number do you want to take?
7 for Michael Vick.
Caller 7 for Michael Vick. 305-567-0560. 305-567-0560. Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network, joins us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.
Adam Beasley is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's the senior NFL reporter for Pro Football Network. You can read his work at profootballnetwork.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. And Crowder, you can follow him on Blue Sky at A.H. Beasley.
What is that?
Blue Sky.
It is the new social media platform that is attracting dozens upon dozens of eyeballs.
25 million users, actually. 25 million users.
Really? Over there.
I can't get any engagement. I'm having a tough time. I've got like 39, 40,000 followers on Twitter. I'm trying to get to 300 on Blue Sky, but I'm in it for the long haul. Anyway, going to get sidetracked here. Mike McDaniel say anything revelatory today at his Monday press conference, anything that would what's he going to say? Right. I mean, it's the same old mumble jumble.
I was talking to Solana off air. I mean, the questions we want to answer can't be answered for 3 weeks. Right. I mean, he's not going to say what we need to know now because he still has to coach for the next 3 weeks. And there are players in the locker room that he has to have their confidence, and there are colleagues of his that won't be working here in 3 weeks that he can't say that about now. So really it was just about the product on the field. Acknowledged, spoiler alert, they have to block better to run better. So that was a big revelation. They are going to probably get back Jalen Waddle at some point. Doesn't sound like a major knee injury. So that was good news, and still TBD about Bradley Chubb. Although, as I wrote on PFN today, if it was my decision, I would actually not bring him back. He has a $10 million injury guarantee in his contract in 2025, which, knowing their luck, you know, with injuries, could be met. And so I would just sit him down all year, have him ready for the start of the 2025 season if he's in their plans, if not, move on because they can with relatively little cap pain. So that was the Mike McDaniel update from Adam Beasley.
And Bees, what you're talking about, some of McDaniel's colleagues might not be here. I'm a personal friend with Chris Greer. He came to Gainesville in 05. I did the little smart people test with him. Like, he was a regional scout at that point. He's been with the team for, 20-plus years. His dad's known in the league. Is he good at his job? Because you can go through all the draft picks and say, oh, this guy hit. He did Waddle, Jalen Waddle and Jaden Phillips draft. I think that was successful. He brought in two. You can go positive, negative. Is Chris Greer a good GM? Because this damn roster is so top-heavy. I think the biggest knock against him is keeping Skylar Thompson around for 3 years. Is Chris Greer a good NFL GM?
A good one, no. I mean, I would say he's probably about average, and that's what his record suggests. He's been the GM since 2016, I think, but really he was Mike Tannenbaum's right-hand man then. Since he's had the full control of the roster in 2019, Channing, here are the stats. They're 50-47, average. Point differential, minus 87, a little bit below average. 0-2 in the playoffs, not nearly good enough. Some of the big decisions he's made in the last 12 months, none of them look great yesterday. He decided to make Tua Tagovailoa the fifth highest paid quarterback in NFL history. Tua had arguably his worst game as a pro, one of his worst games in a big moment as a pro. He not only gave up 5 draft picks, including a first rounder for Tyreek Hill. He's paid him once, if not once, but twice since that trade. Tyreek Hill has been invisible in many large moments, and he was again on Sunday. And I think the one that, like, you all wish you had one back, and I think the one he wishes he had back was the ribbing he gave us, not just this year but last year as well, about our concerns about the offensive line, joking about how we're more concerned about it than he is. And, guys, you look at that offensive line yesterday, there was one legitimate NFL starter on that line, and that was Aaron Brewer. Beyond that, there were a bunch of backups out there. And some guys that might not even be rostered if they weren't on the Miami Dolphins starting for this team. So, yeah, that to me is pretty damning. I just don't know how – I think if you look at it from 30,000 feet, I don't know how he's going to be able to explain to Stephen Ross. Ross gave him everything he wanted beginning in 2019, and this is the product 6 years in. 0 playoff wins, 2 playoff appearances. Look, guys, this division this year is terrible, and the AFC is not particularly good aside from three or four or five maybe teams. They can't make noise with this schedule. With the Texans are not a very good team. They're going to make the playoffs because they're in a bad division, and they were largely non-competitive on offense. And you have the offensive coach that you hired, the quarterback you paid, the offensive line you picked, the wide receivers that you acquired and paid multiple times for, and all of it was for 12 points. To me, I think the body of work for Chris Greer is what's going to get him. It's not just one thing. It's the fact that here we are in 2024, and what progress can we say this team has made in the last 6 years? They are on that same 8-9, 9-8, 10-7 treadmill that they've been for a very long time, and I don't know how he's going to be able to explain that away.
So if you were Stephen Ross, because you wrote at Pro Football Network, like, Chris Greer's got to go. If you're Stephen Ross, is that the first change you make? Is that the only change you make?
No, it's not. Well, I think there needs to be changes. If Mike McDaniel comes back, there needs to be changes to his coaching staff. Danny Crossman's got to go. Like, right? I mean, he's had so many chances. And they got out-coached. In addition to being outplayed, they got out-coached yesterday. That fake punt might have been the difference between them making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, right? And it's these special teams have been bad for a long time. Sure, Jason Sanders is great from 50-plus, but a guy can't make an extra point when it matters. That's not great. Fumble punt cost them in Green Bay. We know the laundry list of concerns that they've had on special teams. And I don't know why Crossman was back this year. He's got to be gone this coming year. So if you bring McDaniel back, you have to have some demands. The staff has to be shaken up. I think you have to look at the offense in general too. Like, why can't this offense go on the road and win? Why can't this offense go against good teams and win? Why does this offense completely disappear in the cold, right? When Mike McDaniel faces his friends, and I wrote this story last week and it came to fruition, his friends know how to beat this offense, right? I mean, DeMeco Ryans knows Mike McDaniel as well as anybody in the league. They've been together off and on since 2006. He knew the game plan to beat this offense and ran it to perfection. Changes need to happen there. They need to get better in a lot of different ways. These pre-snap motions that are just too much when they're on the road and there's all this noise and it's 10 seconds left in the play clock and they're just breaking the huddle. Time and time again, we've seen these pre-snap penalties, all these things that have just been the same. Like, we've talked about this with you. I've talked about it with you guys. I've talked about it with Solana. We've talked about this for 3 years now. And literally everything, every concern we've had about this team was magnified in the most important moment of the season yesterday. Steve Ross is a patient man, but he's not Job, right? I mean, at some point he's going to snap and he's going to have enough. And the question is how bad the fallout is when that happens.
And Bees, we talk about Tua. The numbers are there since he came back from injury. The completion percentage, the yards per game, the lowering, you know, turnovers, all the stuff. Tua's a good quarterback. We talked about earlier today. You put Tua in Cincinnati. Does he have the same numbers Burrow has? You put Tua in Kansas City in that Andy Reid offense. Is he going to ball like? I don't want to say hold him back, but is Tua an elite quarterback that's kind of in a situation that's not extremely advantageous for him, or is he a product of the system?
Well, I would say this. You put him in a cold environment, he will not play as well as he has. Like, if you put him in Cincinnati, you put him in Kansas City, you're going to see a lot of what you saw in Green Bay, what you saw in KC last year. That's what you're going to see. I think Tua's got to have a very specific city with a very specific coach with very specific personnel around him. Does that mean he needs to be carried by the fastest group of wide receivers ever to step foot in the National Football League? No, he doesn't need that. In fact, I think maybe some of that has held him back. I think you see what he's able to do with a big target with Jonnu Smith. This idea that he has to have these little guys that are in and out of their breaks, you know, running free to make it happen. No, Jonnu Smith's been their best receiver this year. I don't think it's been close. So, you know, there are other schemes that he can do well in. Guys, we have never seen him be able to sit back there and survey the coverage for 3-4 seconds like every other NFL quarterback that's good is able to do. Like, we've never seen that. We've never seen him have pass protection that good. We've never seen him consistently have a dominant running game that other quarterbacks have. Look, I mean, you know, Pacheco's not, you know, Gale Sayers, but he's a really good running back, right? Yeah. You know, they've had that in Kansas City. They've had that. Look at Jared Goff. You put Tua on the Detroit Lions, he is Jared Goff. He might be better than Jared Goff. So I think that in a lot of ways, I think Tua is papering over some huge flaws on this roster, among, you know, the scheme, the coaching decisions. But yes, I do think he has limitations. I do think that he and cold weather aren't a great mix. But you can coach around that if you give him all these other things these top quarterbacks have.
So is this build salvageable? If Chris Greer does end up losing his job at the end of the season, and let's just say, hypothetically, McDaniel stays, Tua obviously is going to stay. Is this build salvageable, Bees? Does a general manager come in, and would he be able to either through the draft, this upcoming draft, and through the offseason, make this roster, put it where it needs to be, or do you anticipate, you know, a new GM comes in and it's kind of a full rebuild in terms of how the roster has been constructed?
I do think full rebuilds are a little overblown because every year there is significant turnover, right? And they're going to be, I think, one of the 7 or 8 most cap-strapped teams in the National Football League next year. They're not going to be a real rich team where they can go out and solve all their problems. I would start with trading Tyreek Hill. I think that is where you begin this process because we have now basically 50 games of data that tells us that Tyreek Hill, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jalen Waddle combined have a very hard ceiling, right? And of those three, there's really only one you can trade. Can't trade Tua. Waddle just got his contract. He's the younger of them. And I know he hasn't had a great season. Injuries were tough for him this year. I still think he has a ton of upside. We may have seen the best of Tyreek Hill, right? And so I think of those three, what are you going to be okay not building around? Tyreek's one of them. You take some of that money off your cap. You're able to do some things, maybe get an asset. They're not like, I wrote it back in October. They screwed up. They believed they got high on their own supply, so to speak. They believed that they had enough to make a run, even though they were 2-6, which was crazy for them not to, you know, pull the plug right then and go on and trade a bunch of these assets away. And so they're not going to get the most return they could have gotten Tyreek, you know, like 2 months ago or whatever it was, but they can still get something for Tyreek. I would do that. I would significantly.
You think, by the way, his lack of production has a lot to do with himself, right? That's what I got from reading what you wrote today about Tyreek. Well, it's not just a quarterback unable to get him the ball. Like you were critical of him.
Yeah. I mean, look what Derek Stingley did to him yesterday. I mean, like there, I know McDaniel post game kind of brushed it aside, but like the next gen stats are real. He couldn't get open yesterday. And that to me is stunning. Like if Stingley locked him down, okay, what's the point then, right? What is the point of having a $30 million receiver who can't even get you a jump ball, right? I know he's done lots of things really well. The best of Tyreek Hill is incredible. 1,700 yards in back-to-back seasons. You cannot say anything about that. But I will say this. How many of those yards and touchdowns were impactful? How many of them won them games against very good teams? Is that a $30 million investment you have there? Are you going to continue to go down that road when you've seen you need to diversify your offense? Like, I would much rather take Tyreek's money and get three starting offensive linemen. I think if you're asking me what will have a bigger impact on the production of this team, picking up third and one's a lot more important to me than the occasional go route, right? Like they can't pick up a third and one. I think it's largely because of the construction of their roster. So yeah, no, I it's, you know, I don't want to be too harsh, but I do think the best days of Tyreek Hill are behind him. I think that we have seen, and again, the peak is incredibly high. He's a Hall of Fame player. Like he is at his very best. He was as good as we've seen in the National Football League. Very, very good player. I just think that what we saw this year, what we saw, you know, in key moments the last 3 years, they can do better with their roster than having all that money tied up in one player.
And Beats, it's funny you talk about that, because that track meet mentality of everybody said that, oh, the Dolphins are a track meet. Achan's 4-3, Waddle's 4-3, Tyreek's 4-2. I look around the league now and see the teams that are dominant, speaking of Philly, speaking of Detroit, even Buffalo. It seems like it's going back to when I played, that if you can kick somebody's butt in the trenches, that's the dominant teams. This track meet crap is cool, and I know Hawk loves 45-point games, but is the league kind of steering back towards that old-school mentality of run the ball and get in the fourth quarter and whoop somebody's tail physically?
Well, Crowder, you can do both. I mean, look at the Lions. Do you think they're like – I mean, they have very good players on offense for sure. They're built to bully you. They are absolutely built to bully you, and they're able to score 50 a game, right? I mean, it's not just one or the other. I think it's philosophy, and the philosophy is if teams know that if the Miami Dolphins have to nickel and dime you on the road against good teams to win, it's not going to work for them. They know that if they can go, you know, cover two deep, whatever you want to call it, put a tarp over the back of the defense and saying, okay, good luck. And then your offensive line can't win those light boxes. Game over, right? It's game over. So I think you can do both. I don't think that the idea of like scoring a ton of points should be ruled out by any stretch of the imagination, but they're going about it in a way that's beatable, especially if they're not getting the production from the line they need. So all these things are going to have to be considered by Mike McDaniel, right? He is going to have, if assuming he's the coach in 2025, he's going to have to go through this. It's like, why is there a hard ceiling to what I'm doing, right? Because if you were building the vision of a Mike McDaniel offense, you would start with a quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa. You would start with receivers like Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. You would have running backs like Devon Achane and Jalen Wright and Raheem Mostert and all these guys. These are the things you would do, and it's not working. And he has to come to the realization and adapt. And I think these are one of the conversations Steve Ross is going to have with him, assuming Ross wants to keep him. Is like, look, you've got to make this change. You absolutely have to. We'll see if McDaniel's willing to do it.
Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network. Follow him on Blue Sky. A.H. Beasley. See you, Bees. We appreciate your time, man.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.